Welcome to the Artie's Attic Warehouse 13 Fancast, where a steampunk girl, a lifelong sci-fi fan, and a rocket scientist chat about the popular 2009 sci-fi series. There's never a dull moment with the agents dedicated to protect humankind from unexplained phenomena that manifest their powers in special objects. And there's all those friendships and relationships along the way. Grab a cookie while you can. Hope you don't smell fudge. Gear up with your Farnsworth Tesla and neutralizer, and let's have some fun by snagging it, bagging it, and tagging it. Welcome back to Artie's Attic. We're a Warehouse 13 fan cast. I'm the Warehouse 13 janitor, currently smelling marshmallows, seeing stars, and guarding the original mistletoe from being hung again. My name is SP.
That was a lot.
And introducing Artie's Attic lead agent and historian, who tends to throw snowballs indiscriminately in the middle of the armory, it's Agent Shannon.
Hey, what's up, guys? That is me. That is me. Pretty good. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And also joining us is the warehouse agent, who is deciding on whether she should whoosh and twinkle, sizzle and splat, or zap and kerchow. It's Agent Carolyn.
Definitely zap and kerchow. I mean, you got to kachow.
That's the high level stuff, though. You know, you got to be careful with that.
I mean, if you're going to do it, go big, go home.
Go big or go home.
This is what I said.
Okay. We are continuing our Warehouse 13 series discussion with the episode that premiered on December 7th, 2010, 2 years before Detective Quentin Lance gave the Green Arrow a pass on Christmas Eve in Starling City to save 5 hostages in a warehouse, and 12 years before Guardians of the Galaxy proved Pete right by having Christmas in space. I'm referring to the Warehouse 13 Season 2 special episode, Secret Santa. And the TV Guide
Doc. Secret Santa?
Secret Santa. That's what I meant to say. Secret Santa.
I know. Okay. I'm just helping you out.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a traumatic evening. Lots of tornadoes. Well, we'll talk about the weather later, maybe. The TVGuide.com description of the episode reads, Pete and Micah investigate robberies linked to a malevolent Santa Claus while Artie reunites with his father, played by Judge Hirsch, on Hanukkah. Shannon, you hated this episode, right?
I love this episode. So much.
Yes, me too.
There's so many. This is where I use my favorite GIF from this episode more than anything on Twitter. It's funny that I tell you my favorite GIF, but yet that's how you introduced me to the cast as the snowballs and the
snowball
armor.
Thrower. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not coordinated in advance.
I know, that was pretty funny. You know what I like? There's so many great moments in this. I think I love the fact that this is the first episode, I think. Well, definitely for Christmas music. This is the first time that they changed the music for the opener, right?
I saw that. And they gave everybody different little characters.
They changed up the intro. Mm-hmm. And the song that they were playing at the end when they were all eating, I have that music on my phone. For the longest time, I had that as my ringtone.
That is an artifact of its own. It's Mariah Carey's 1994 hit, All I Want for Christmas is You.
No, not the Mariah Carey. That's what they were playing when they were eating.
Not when they were eating, no.
They were playing Mariah Carey when they were in the mall.
That was in the mall.
I'm talking about the violin part of it.
All right. I'm out of it. Sorry, guys. So,
are you on cold medicine? You okay?
No, I haven't taken cold medicine in like 3 days. So that's not the problem.
Well, you were sniffing. You must have been sniffing something.
Well, come on, because the TBI girl here is like outbeating you here.
Yeah, a woman with brain injuries outbeating you, man. Injury. I don't know about that.
They played the Mariah Carey when they were leaving the mall. They played when they were all sitting down to have Christmas dinner. They were doing the warehouse music in the background, but it's all violin.
Yep.
They were doing the waltz. Yeah. So Anyways, I love this episode so much. Even though it's Christmas in March, it's springtime, but we had Christmas.
Yeah, and the nods to Hanukkah as well, because Saul Ruminick's character ended up with a dreidel next to his picture in the opening, and then on the piano, if you notice, there was a menorah as well.
Well, considering he's Jewish in real life. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that at all.
Not at all.
Well, I mean, that's the basis of the characters, right? So they were dealing with Jewish persecution in Germany, and so the family moved to Russia, right? And then the whole thing back and forth with the NSA and Russia and artifacts and stuff like that. It's not any different than we have already seen in the last two seasons.
True. This one was super cute, opening up with Pete and Micah coming in, and Pete talking about in a galaxy far, far away.
Star Wars. Like, yeah.
This isn't a Star Wars movie. What? They have Christmas in space.
I loved how like they're talking over the pictures that are coming through. She's like, Pete, that's not how it goes.
Yeah.
I like when they first open the coming into the office, and Claudia's all decorating and she's all using the snow globe, and there's like twinkles everywhere.
Twinkly lights everywhere.
Twinkly.
Yes. She what did she call it? She made it a, what was it?
Sparkly.
The snow globe, the in the cup. It was something in the cup.
The marshmallows.
I don't remember.
It was the Swiss Miss mug. When the cup is shaken, it summons a blizzard-like flurry of marshmallow and cocoa-flavored snow. Claudia nicknamed it the Swiss mishap. Yeah.
I love the mistletoe part where Artie comes in and he ends up kissing Josh. This drops in him.
See what I mean?
Get rid of this.
Take it all down.
Get rid of it. Don't want it.
Take it all down.
Some of these things are very dangerous.
Bah humbug.
It was really funny to watch Micah throw a snowball at Pete. And then he's talking about, man, who's childish now? And she's like, this from the guy that laughs at Grand Tetons.
All right, so I'm going to back up a second. Have either of you two watched the Star Wars Holiday Special? There was a Star Wars Holiday Special. Have you seen this?
I think a long time ago, but maybe once.
Galaxy far away?
No. In a galaxy far, far away?
I'm a Star Trek girl, sorry.
It is available on YouTube. I highly recommend you never watch it whatsoever. It is very painful for anybody that is a Star Wars fan. But it goes through, not Christmas, because they don't have Christmas in Star Wars. What they have in Star Wars is Life Day, and they celebrate Life Day.
Oh, yeah.
So the holiday special was all about Life Day, and it was the biggest train wreck in television history, basically. It was a live performance. You had Carrie Fisher. I'm assuming she was hopped up on drugs at the time. You had Harrison Ford. He just wasn't in it. And I mean, they had all the characters. They had Chewie, they had the droids and everything, but it was just
sounds like it was bad. Contract. Their contract, they had to be there.
Well, pretty much. I mean, they were in the middle of the fame of Star Wars. So
Star Trek Day, any day.
I know. You happen to have a podcast on it too called Strange New Worlds.
It's like I like Star Trek or something.
Right.
No.
So anyway, just want to point that out. When Pete says there's Star Wars or there's Christmas in Star Wars, there's not really Christmas in Star Wars.
Well, it's Life technically Day. He says there's Christmas in space, and it wasn't technically all about Star Wars. So there could still be Christmas in space, just
there
not
is
Star
Christmas
Wars space.
In space. So in the Guardians of the Galaxy, a couple years ago in 2022, they had the holiday special where they took Kevin. The Footloose. Yeah, Kevin Bacon. He went up to space with the Guardians of the Galaxy. So, there's Christmas in space.
That's true. There is Christmas in space.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know what y'all are talking about, and I don't really think I've missed much.
No, you have. It's actually a pretty cool little thing.
Kevin Bacon in the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. It's the Christmas special. It came out 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago.
It was actually really good.
Yeah.
I liked it. They did a good job. It was funny. It was funny and very heartwarming.
Yes, it was. I highly recommend that you check it out. And the other thing that I wanted to point out here, I'm going to get a little curmudgeonly here. I'm going to get a little bit bah humbug here.
Oh, okay, so, Artie.
Say the first word again.
Curmudgeonly.
Okay, just testing you this time.
Yeah, okay. So we get to the point of we've ended season two. Micah has left the warehouse, and then we get this, and everything's copacetic.
Yeah.
With that said, there is a hence deleted either Twitter account or tweet. I'm not sure which, but it was from the show's writer. And it basically said that this episode was taking place before Vendetta. So it was in the middle of season two that this episode is placed, but that's not described anywhere. So as you're watching this in December of 2010, you're like, what, why is Mike and Pete still, I don't understand what's going on here.
Yeah, it wasn't aired in proper place.
Well, that's because they had a summer showing. So there's no way to have a Christmas episode. So I will blame the production team on not placing this correctly and not providing context on where it was. They could have.
Before Vendetta, which would be before HG turned on them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then why isn't HG here?
Exactly.
See? She's off doing other things.
I have suggestions.
Well, she is on your list, so.
She is on my list.
So it is just a quibble I have on this episode. It's the first thing
Bubba Guppy effect. Mrs. Bubba Guppy.
It's more than Bubba Guppy. This is you complete season two, and then all of a sudden you're like, nothing happened? Where Micah should not be there. And I know that plot gets solved very quickly at the beginning of season three, which we haven't seen yet in this rewatch. But it was just very odd. And I remember watching it in 2010 going, what the frack? Yeah. Well, obviously,
one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. And it kind of ruined what was happening with Micah. It's like, you're telling me that Micah is still part of the show.
When she's already walked out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big quibble that I have with this episode. But if you get past that, and I actually had to search for that writer. It's Ian Stokes, by the way, was the writer of the episode. And I actually had to search for it. And the tweet doesn't even exist anymore. So I can't reference it. It's just referenced in other articles about the episode. No, I think he either left Twitter or the specific tweet was deleted. I don't know. Anyway, just a little quibble. There's a lot more goodness here. I mean, you guys are talking about the Swiss Miss mug, the boxing gloves. Did we talk about the stars and the boxing gloves yet?
Not yet. That was the next thing we were going to talk about.
Okay, let's talk about it then.
Okay, Claudia's brother, who is also a big Hallmark star, which was funny because my parents just watched a Hallmark movie the night before we started watching this one that had it in it. And they're like, hey, isn't that the guy?
Yeah. So Tyler Haynes is the actor. He plays Joshua Donovan and has since the beginning. He has 69 acting credits. We've talked about him before, including 5 Warehouse 13 episodes. And believe it or not, he was in Star Trek Discovery, season 2, episode 9, Project Daedalus, which was
when the Discovery season 2.
The Discovery crew infiltrates Section 31's headquarters and suspicions arise that the crew may have a traitor in their midst. Meanwhile, Michael Burnham, tries to help Spock, but her efforts don't go as planned.
Was he an alien? Because I don't remember his face.
I don't remember his face either. I'm just saying he was in Star Trek Discovery.
Maybe he was on the cutting room floor.
He was also in the 2019 movie Flatliners. And basically from 2019 on, so he's not like a long-term Hallmark holiday guy. He came to the Hallmark channel in 2019. So yes, it's been 5 years, but whenever I see him on Hallmark, I'm like, that guy's been there for 10 years. He's only been there for 5 years. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Pause for a second. Yeah. Caitlin, Cat Brill movie that was on Hallmark. I don't have the Hallmark channel. I haven't seen any of her stuff on Hallmark Channel. Where'd you say you saw it?
We saw it on the Hallmark Channel because my parents pay for it. But I can get you can get it on Peacock.
Peacock.
Because they do a lot of Hallmark stuff.
Let's go Pico Train. Okay, I'm sorry. Wrong show. Yes.
Pico Train.
So you can watch a lot of the stuff from the... I'm sorry, that's where my mind goes. Roscoe Pico Train. I just dated myself.
Sadly, I don't think he's with us anymore.
I don't think so either. The actor that
played
Roscoe.
Yeah, anyway, Tyler Haynes plays Joshua, and he's up there with the boxing gloves and everything. He's got the weird hairdo and everything like that. And
yeah.
It's nice to see him. At least
it's not got frosted tips.
He gets kissed by Artie, though.
He does, because he's trying to take down the original mistletoe. And as Claudia was like, "Oh, Micah, be careful. That's the original mistletoe. And it's very strong." And Pete's over there going, "Tetons," as he's trying to motion. For the people that can't see that, I just made little squishy hands with my hands.
Boob grab. That's what she just did. Boob grab.
Yes.
Boob
right.
I did.
Yeah. So not only does he get kissed, but then he gets dropped.
Yeah. It's like, take it all down. Bonk. Ow. But the sparkly lights were, what was it? Ollie's boxing gloves, where they just make you see stars without even putting them on. Muhammad Ali's.
That's what the stars were? I didn't catch that part.
Yeah,
Muhammad Ali's boxing gloves.
Makes you see stars without actually hitting
you. I've seen these episodes so many times that when I'm watching them with y'all, or I'm watching them so we can do the cast, there's some of them I just overlook. It's like I've seen it so many times that I overlooked that part, and then I don't remember. But
the other funny part was as Artie's coming in, and he's like, "What have you done to my office?" And Claudia gets all excited. She's like, "I have a gift for you." And he's like, you know. These things, we give gifts to people we care about. Earthlings, we give gifts.
Artie, say thank you.
Yeah. Artie, just say thank you.
Did either one of you recognize the guy that played Larry Noodle?
Yeah, of course I did. Right? I referenced him in the intro, Detective Quentin Lance.
Right.
Played it Arrow. In 141 episodes of Arrow. Yeah.
No. Just a couple.
I don't know him from there because I've never watched Arrow, but there is a connection.
He's been in a lot of things.
Yes, I've never watched Arrow. Look, I got your autograph for you. That's it. Never watched it. But him and Joanne Kelly played in the Dresden Files together. That's how they know each other.
Because they did. He was the Dresden Files.
Veronica the Vampire. She was so pretty.
Paul Blackthorne.
I remember that.
Paul Blackthorne has 50 acting credits since 1999, including 5 episodes of ER as a recurring character, Dr. Jeremy Lawson, 10 episodes of 24, 13 episodes of The Dresden Files, 9 episodes of a series called Big Shots, 20 episodes of a series called Lipstick Jungle, 1 episode of Warehouse 13. This is the only time we see Paul in Warehouse 13. Yeah. And, of course, as I said, 141 episodes of Arrow, 2 episodes of The Flash, and 2 episodes of DC's Legends of Tomorrow. He was the father of a couple of the main characters, as well as a main character himself, as Detective Quentin Lance, and ultimately he became mayor of Star City.
By the time he's here, she's already been in one episode of Dresden Files.
Yes, that was before
this. I really liked that show. I was sad when there wasn't...
You can still see it. I watched it.
Oh, I know.
By the way, Paul.
Oh, I know. I just wish there was more of it.
Yeah. Paul has kind of a noted dating history of 2 women. He secretly dated Callie Cuoco, who is the Penny from The Big Bang Theory. Dated her secretly for 2 years. I don't know what I said, but Penny. Penny secretly dated her for 2 years. And then dated Daryl Hannah for a while as well. Yeah. All in Daryl.
Really?
He was bringing it in. Yeah. So good on Paul.
I would think Kelly's the winner there.
Of not having him anymore?
That's okay. That's true.
He's single, I guess, right now from what I hear. But yeah, I always made fun of him in the first few years of Arrow as we podcasted about him on Starling Tribune. Because as a detective, he he was total Starsky and Hutch because he always had the wide stance with his legs and he put his gun way out with two hands. He's like, did. You are the worst detective in history. That's how you go around doing stuff. So I made fun of him for a while, but he hung on to the series for a very long time. And finally, he's like, I can't do this anymore. I gotta go.
Well, I couldn't watch it anymore, so I ended watching. I never finished Arrow. Just, yeah.
Jessica Jones didn't last very long. It only one season, no, right?
I think so. But it was a really good series. I liked it. I wish they would have done more.
It was a little bit before its time. I mean, I didn't know of it until Warehouse 13, because I went looking for other things that Joanne Kelly had been in. So like this one episode of this and then and then one episode of Supernatural, which is another series I haven't watched.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one either. Although there's a lot of that
for
one.
For a very long, long, long time.
That was the longest running series on CW.
22 seasons, right?
Yeah, something like that. It was a very long.
And on. And on and on. I never watched it, but I'm glad I didn't, because even the diehards at the end were like,
can we just kill them off by now?
Yeah. Do we have to do this again?
Well, you know, for the longest time,
guys dead by now.
For the longest time, Stargate had that honor of having so many seasons.
Not necessarily that much, because you had a different show. Supernatural was the same show the whole time.
It was.
Well, but you had 10 seasons of SG-1, and that was long for then.
I will call it 8+2. 8 seasons of Stargate SG-1, and then an additional 2.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I loved both Ben and Claudia when they came to it.
Yeah, it was a good. Yeah, even though I didn't see Farscape.
You haven't seen Farscape?
It's in DVDs right up there. Right up there.
I love
it. Farscape. It takes a special kind of patience to watch Farscape. I liked it, but it just like it takes a special kind of patience to watch Torchwood.
Right? Mm.
Some of the Torchwood stuff is torture.
Some of you are like, what were they on when they wrote this thing, right? Some of it, it's just, you have to be a fan. And grin and bear it and keep on going. Just like watching, there was something I was watching last night. I can't remember the name of it, but I kept telling Sean, I'm like, this is so, it's like Xena. It can't be like Xena. But of course, I liked it.
By the way, you podcasted on Torchwood way back in 2016 on Sci-Fi Boneyard Episode 8, which is available at scifiboneyard.com.
I like Torchwood. I liked Xena, but some of it was a little bit campy. So
yeah, most definitely.
By the way, the biggest guest star on the episode was not Paul; it was Judd Hirsch, and
the father.
Yeah, Artie's father. 93 acting credits.
Well done.
Yes, 93 acting credits since 1971.
He looked a lot like.
He's been acting before y'all were born.
Wasn't he on MASH?
So. The notable ones I have on him, though, are 114 episodes of Taxi, 90 episodes of Dear John. In 1980, he was in the movie Ordinary People. In 1996, he's probably most noted for this role for people that are watching the show with us. It's Independence Day in 1996.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, he was the Jewish dad.
His imagine biggest
that. Movie.
Right.
I don't know if this is his box office biggest movie or not, but in 2001, he was in A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah.
A Beautiful
Mind. I liked that movie.
A Beautiful Mind.
A Beautiful Mind. He was in 114 episode of Numbers. He was in.
Oh, he was.
Yes.
I loved that show.
Which one was Numbers? Was that the one with the special people that they could see things? Or no, that was.
No.
What? I don't know what Numbers was.
No, that was a guy that could, well, basically see numbers, and his brother was in the FBI.
Okay.
And they would collaborate on things.
He also played in this one sole episode of Warehouse 13. We never see him again, unfortunately, but he was in this episode.
Which is sad.
But you
because
know,
they were so good together.
He looks like he'd perfectly, he would pass as his dad.
Yeah, he would.
That's the same man who was in the
best Christmas present ever.
I'd have to compare their ages. I think they're closer in age than you think.
I like when they sit down and they're arguing, and then they sit down and they find the common ground that they're arguing of. She's like, yep, okay, there he is. Well, she's much like it, but she just like nudged into existence.
That is my favorite scene. That is my favorite scene. When they start talking about Trudy and everything, and they just, at that instant, when they compare Claudia to Trudy, and they just go on with each other at that point, they have now kissed and made up.
Is she yours? Oh, God, no.
God knows. She don't.
She just nudged her way into existence. But
the look on her face, she had an accomplishment because they did kiss and make up, and she brought them together. Even at the expense of her, she's happy that they are talking.
Yes.
That neither one of them are actually dying.
As her brother, she's like standing there when they're, she's standing there when they're getting back together, and her brother's just making this motion of like, you know,
that is very much a Hallmark thing. Like, oh, they're dying. And then he's like, for the love of God. And he just leaves the room. That is totally a Hallmark movie.
He's like, you're going to go to hell. He's like, I know.
I know. Isn't it great?
Judd was also in 22 episodes of a series called Forever. He was in the 2016 Independence Day Resurgence movie and 22 episodes of The Goldbergs.
I didn't see
it. Yeah, it was on.
Stop you making me on.
But anyway, Judd has been in a lot of stuff since 1971, and I was really appreciating him being in this episode.
Yes. Those two together. And that, and when he's trying, you know, he's playing his perfect symphony and his dad's like, you're ruining it. He's like, you're ruining this perfect moment. Here, just let me fix your fingers. Will you stop?
They played so well off of each other. But normally we do this at the end where you ask us our favorite part, but because you said that was your favorite part when they were talking to me, I got to say it now, otherwise I'm going to forget because, you know, brain injury. My favorite part of this episode was when Claudia had the t-shirts made for all of them.
Oh, I love that.
They all had the printout of the artifact.
The artifact that almost killed them. Yes.
That was hilarious to me. Even, you know.
And it was like she took the plaque that's in front of the artifact, because it had the nylons for Artie and the telegraph for Pete and
the
camera for
it's been a while, but at one time they used to have those on Redbubble. You could get them again. I'm shamelessly like, somebody should be giving me some money, right? I am
right.
Plugging Redbubble again. What, yet again? I have most of my stuff
Redbubble.
At one time you could buy those exact same, you know, like shirts or whatever with those pictures on them.
I remember that because I almost got them, and then I was like, I don't have the money.
No. Yeah. I don't think it's there anymore. Sorry, guys.
No. Unfortunately, it's not. I wish they would put it back on there, but maybe it's a licensing thing. I don't know.
I know. I think it's more of the fact that people on Redbubble, because they do their own work, and then they go into other things.
Like, that's true.
There was a woman, I don't know her real name, but she went by on Twitter as Death to Dickens.
I remember her.
You seen her, right?
Yeah, I remember.
She would draw Micah and HG a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she uses that name, Death to Dickens, and Dickens is the name of a cat in season 3 that HG has. We'll cover it. But she does a lot of the wet Redbubble stuff.
I remember
she was
her.
Even she, you know her probably because she was involved with a lot of the Defiance retweets because Jamie was involved in it.
Yes, I remember that.
And Jamie and her would talk back and forth all the time because of Warehouse 13, because of the whole Burying a Wells thing. So she does a lot of little drawings. So she's got a lot of stuff that's still on Redbubble. I would say more than 50% of the stuff that you see when you type in Warehouse 13 is her. Or there's another girl named Michaela that most of my t-shirts come from. Or, you remember all my stickers that I had on my car?
Who could forget them?
I still got quite a few stickers on my car. Matter of fact, I've got one of Michaela's stickers on my car. And a t-shirt. And a hoodie.
There are some artifact t-shirts on Redbubble still.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if they're all the same ones, but they're in the same format where you have basically the card in front mm-hmm. of what the artifact is. So they're not the same as what we saw on the screen.
Right.
But they're close.
I mean, the t-shirts are in the same format, but the artifacts aren't the same ones that we saw on the screen.
I see. I'm not sure what my favorite... There's so many good episodes, and there was actually a lot of food in this episode, too, if we wanted to talk about that.
Let's go for the fruit cake and the cookies and everything.
Fruit cake, which Pete promptly spit out because he broke a tooth on. He took a cookie. We had turkey and all the stuff and all the fixins at the end.
What turkey?
Pete, when they were in the guy's house and there was leftover Chinese, and Micah's like, you really will eat anything, won't you?
And then the cookie from the cookie tray when he was talking mm-hmm. to the mother and daughter.
And we'll take one of these. I think that was all in the flavor, the marshmallow flavored sprinkles that came out of the cup.
I mean, there was the whole meal at the end too.
Yeah, that's why I said the turkey and all the fixings. Her big turkey. That was a huge turkey. Did you see the size of that thing?
My turkey.
She said this typical thing. Soup's on.
I know. Soup's on.
It wasn't soup.
Yeah.
What are you not seeing that's not in the same shape or I'm looking at the Astrolabe t-shirt right now. It's the same kind of...
The artifacts themselves, you didn't get all the artifacts. They're not all there. I mean, Redica's compass is there, and there's some that are there.
But again, it's fan-made, so I mean, somebody are going to pick their favorite one, so...
Right. There's the telegraph that's there. There's the...
I'd wear all of these, just saying.
Yeah, I probably would, too. But...
Sure.
Do you remember the Star Trek reference in this one?
Kirk out.
Shannon? Yep. Got it. Kirk out.
You think I wasn't going to get that one? Come on. I even got Star Wars, but I'm still a Trekkie.
Yes. Trekkie. But I thought of you when I saw that, when I heard Pete say that to Artie. I know,
because you think of me so often.
Yep. Claudia is Artie's own dark nymph. Because she sets out to try to find Artie's old piano because she saw the picture of him one time happy. She's like, oh, I never thought of Artie as a kid.
Now, Glück is German for luck or happiness, and Klavier translates to piano. Together, the brand name literally means lucky piano.
Claudia's constant trying to figure out how to pronounce it was funny too. The glukish fuck of Ferdy.
Basically, when she finally got there, she's like, yeah, and the fact that only one of us could actually pronounce the name kind of made it expand. And they went into the long distance cost again. It's like, there's no long distance cost anymore. But back in 2010, there were long distance costs.
Well, the other thing I thought about was, you know, this whole thing is about. What is that?
Shirt. This is whammied.
Whammied. Nice. But the guy that's trying to open up malls and putting other businesses out of business. And well, nobody goes to these mom and pop shops anymore. They go to malls. And I was like, I grew up in one. I don't remember the last time I was in a mall. And I know that most of malls around here are not as full as they used to be. I mean, the online shopping thing has pretty much been the death of malls.
They have made a comeback around the holidays themselves. There are stores that set up for about 3 or 4 months around the holidays.
Yes.
And the malls themselves are in such need of income that they make these incredible deals that run out, I want to say January 15th or so, maybe mm-hmm. February 15th. But typically after Christmas, even when the malls were a big thing, January was not a big sales month at all.
Yeah.
So if you could make it past January 1st, which is the return window in there between Christmas and New Year's, right? If you could make it past that for about a week or so, then you could bring your store down. And that's what a lot of them do now. They set up shop for about 3 months and maybe 4 months. And the malls are hopping for that time period. And I think part of the reason why malls are hopping, at least in this part of the country, is it gets freaking cold and people need some place to go. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing for here in the summer. People need to go someplace inside cool. Yeah. But I think as someone who made a living working in security at malls, right? I think it really depends on the area you're in. I opened up the mall that's here in Frisco. What I mean by that, I was the assistant security director. I was working in the area. I was working in that mall when there was still grass growing in the parking lot. I had to do all the recruiting and training and hiring and payroll and all the fun stuff back in the year 2000. 2000. Before that, there was nothing out of this area. Now that mall is still so busy, even on the weekends, even without a holiday. Maybe it's because no one else has anything to do. But
probably
Frisco has bloomed since then. To the point that I heard on the radio the other day that now that, you know, y'all both have heard DFW, right?
Mm-hmm.
The area. Now it's called DFFW because they've added Frisco to it.
I didn't know that.
Maybe it's because Jerry Jones owns half the things in Frisco. I don't know. But it's now on the map. There's so many more things coming. But still, that mall is what brought all the money into the area. Before that, I mean, when I first started working out there, you come around the corner of this highway, and there's nothing but cows. That's all you saw, cow. Nothing but pastures.
Cow.
Moo.
There's another cow. Actually, I think that's the same one. Name the quote. Figure out where the movie is. Come on, come on, come on, Carolyn. Twister.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, now yeah, that I remember. One.
I think that's same one.
Same cow.
I think one of my favorite parts was when they took Larry Noodle into one of the shops that was being closed because they were thinking that he was the one that had the grudge against Larry Noodle. And it's like a gag gift shop, which is right up Pete's alley. So, yeah, you know, there's
to take him into one of those.
You come in and he's got a whoopee cushion and it's making the farting noise. And, you know, then Micah's like, she's trying not to laugh and be the serious one. And he's like, comes around with like looking like Groucho Marx. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. What? My sister loves this stuff. And then who buys this fake vomit stuff? And Pete's like, oh, I should have picked some of that stuff up too. So I just love that little shop.
Did he say little sister or my kid sister?
Kid sister.
I think he said sister, or did he say sister-in-law later on
when we meet?
Or was it sister?
When we meet his mom and you find out about his sister's older.
Yes.
On.
I was going to bring that up. This is a continuity issue.
How good I am. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Like, this is a continuity issue.
Death.
Pete's only sister known in the series is older, and yet in this one it was kid's sister or little sister. Either one, it doesn't make
and
it
a deaf, and that's why he knows sign language. And yes, why he lives. Yeah.
Spoilers.
Spoilers, like you haven't seen it already. And guess who his mom is?
We've already talked about that. Yeah.
And guess who his ex-wife is?
Jerry Ryan. Yes,
yes. I know, Star Trek spoiler. I mean, come on. If you haven't figured out by now.
By the way, we were talking about malls. I was just in the country's biggest mall just a couple
of
weeks
ago. Mall of America.
Yep. My parents live 5 minutes away from the Mall of America. I went up there to go see a friend and I spent some time with my family while I was up there. And I went into the Mall of America and I learned why not to go to the Mall of America in the middle of March, because that's spring break for a lot of people up there. And because they have nowhere else to go, because the lakes aren't frozen anymore. There's no snow on the ground. They can't do the snow things, but yet it's too cold to do like outdoor things. So everybody goes to the mall. It was worse than the holidays. I've never seen the Mall of America that packed. And I didn't see anybody with Minnesota gear. There was no Gopher gear. There was no Vikings gear. There was no Twins gear. There was no Minnesota Wild. It was all out of towners. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Tourist destination.
Technically,
who's going to take a vacation? Let's go to the mall. I know. Let's go to Minnesota and freeze our butts off and let's go to the mall. Yeah, what? No, a pal.
Let's take a vacation to the Mall of America.
Do you remember? You might remember a long time ago, there used to be a security show on TV that talked about the Mall of America. The security guards, it talked about the stuff that went on in there. It was extremely interesting to me. But
well, I imagine, yeah.
There'd be no way in hell.
They have taken a vast proactive measures. There's a vast security infrastructure that you both see and don't see around the Mall of America. They proactively take care of a lot of things. They put rules in place so that people underage can't be there. And underage, I mean like 18, can't be in there without an adult accompanying you and stuff like that. So they've had some gang issues in there over the years. They've had some stabbings and shootings. Yeah. But it is a safe place to be. And they do have both physical and invisible presence there from a security standpoint.
Tourist destinations and people spending their vacations there and having roller coasters inside the place, you're going to pay more for the people to come and pay and spend the money than you are for the gangs that's going to be there, right? So the mall that I grew up working in, we had all this stuff too. We had a shooting one night when I was there. We had Mata Patrol that was like coming down off of their horses and scrambling. I walked in the middle of a knife fight one time. I've had armed robbery. I mean,
paperwork.
Yeah, that's one thing that you probably could not work at the Mall of America for, because there's a lot of paperwork.
That's
why I have no patience for it anymore. And then I got hired at the county. I'm like, what have I got myself into? Because this paperwork, like every other hour, sucked. Mm-hmm. So, did you hear already mentioned paperwork in here? So I wish, but this was back in the mid 90s, like 95, 96 area. I wish that they had those rules implemented.
See you, not just me. Thank you.
Brain injury. I have excuses. I have a car I can use for the rest of my life.
I have a brain injury from having a podcast with you.
You're welcome.
Hey. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, I did like the story with this one too, the artifact that caused the Santa that floats around. It is a story that I've heard before about the Christmas ceasefire.
World War One.
Oh yeah, World War One.
In 1914. Yeah. Yep. Where they came out of their trenches because it was trench warfare back then, and there was no actual ceasefire. It wasn't official, but they came out and
the commanders were telling them to shoot each other and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not on Christmas. So
that's because those soldiers were just soldiers. That's what they were. They weren't there to hate. They just were there to do what they were told. But they were, this is Christmas.
Yeah. But it created the ornament that she got and created this Santa. Well, Larry Noodle version 2.0.
Okay, I got a question.
Yes.
Quest.
Again, it's one of those things that I've seen it so many times that maybe I just didn't see it. They took the shell to go find Larry Noodle, and they went to the mall and they found him, but they never neutralized the shell. So
They did neutralize the shell, but it didn't work.
Yep.
See, again.
Nutcracker.
it was a little bit outside of the normal lore for the artifacts. They neutralized it, and the effect was still happening, and the two things that were going to stop it was, first of all, physical touch, but the nutcrackers, the soldiers, kept them from actually getting to him to put a hand on him to stop it, and it really was the daughter arguing with Larry Noodle, the Santa Noodle, or whatever you want to call him. Yeah, it was the daughter that actually caused the Santa Noodle for going away.
I'm going to say that from now on.
And then you had the whole family together. So I don't know, did they get back together, or was this just a nice Christmas story?
There was kissing.
Seemed like it was like getting back together.
I mean, I just like the story behind it. You know, you can have all the money in the world, but it doesn't give you anything if you don't spend the time with the people that you love.
Right. Exactly.
So you could pay the bills and spend time on video chat or something, but it doesn't pay the. It doesn't.
Put effort into it, otherwise you lose it. And that's yeah. and because he was battling himself the entire episode.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So you had Artie's dad there at the end with Artie and the whole warehouse gang, right?
Yeah. Right?
Did Artie introduce his dad to Vanessa?
Ooh.
No.
I didn't see her there, so I don't think so.
I know. It would happen off screen. So but do you think that you really? It's like, I'm not going to
show. I think Artie's a very secretive man. I think he only reveals things when he's forced to reveal things.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have told his dad anything, including like what they do or about Mrs. Frederick.
I mean, if you're dating the bionic woman, you'd want to tell your dad.
Look what I landed. Yeah. 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 You know, but
that was this one's mine. Yeah. She chose me.
See, that's what I'm saying, right? We get another one of these holiday episodes next year. I don't remember it. We'll get to it when we get past season three, but this was an okay episode aside from the timing of it.
Yeah, it was very adorable. I really liked the I mean, it was very Christmassy in the fact that it was, you know, spend time with the people that you love. Yes, you can give a bunch of gifts, but they don't matter if you are not there, you know, to really spend the time with them, you know, that sort of thing. So, and all of the, you really get the childish brother-sister love between
Micah and Pete.
Micah and Pete in this one, and it's adorable, especially when she throws the Keep snowball on. At him, and then he you gets all mushy at the end, and says, "She says, well, I'm really sorry you didn't get to spend Christmas with your family," and he says, "Well, I just realized that I'm spending it with people that I really care about anyway." She's like, "Aw, don't get all mushy," and he's like, "What did he say, Grand Tetons or something like that?"
Ophelia Teton.
I like
how Ophelia Tetons.
Ophelia, which is her middle name. Yep.
Yeah. Ophelia
Tetons. I like how she sit down and just was engrossed into the story that he was telling about World War I.
Yeah.
And she's like,
yeah, I liked his little story time. It was cute.
Because he's good with kids.
He is.
I am a little sad that Pete and Micah did not get to go home for Christmas. Because, I mean, we just described some of their family, right? Mm-hmm. We know their family. We care about these actors. They're not bad actors. We like them. And it's just they can't spend time with their families because they're doing warehouse business. It's a little sad.
It is. And the California Christmas was nowhere near Colorado's Christmas.
I'd take either one of those over Texas Christmas. I can just tell you that right now.
As you get older, California Christmas aren't too bad. I used to have to go, I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, I used to have to go out to Southern California twice a month for my job. About every other week, I'd go out there. In the winter, it does get kind of cold and rainy, believe it or not. They have floods there because it rains every once in a while. But it's a lot warmer than the Midwest. Colorado? Or Colorado, which
I've lived. It was like 80-something degrees this past Christmas outside. I'm like, this sucks.
The lake up in Wisconsin this year really never froze over well enough to go ice fishing. So I didn't go up there to go ice fishing this year. But I will say the ice went out, people put their docks out, and then guess what? It froze again. So there's ice on the lake. So I hope that people's docks and their boats don't get ruined because the ice will come in again.
What happens when the boats get frozen into the water?
Well, they're up on lifts in Wisconsin. They're not actually on the water. So the problem, though, is when the ice comes in, you're pushing all that force into everything. So it really kind of screws up. It's just a lot of weight coming in, basically, when it comes in. And it can dent and damage dock poles and lifts.
I'm like, no, Sean says I've never seen real snow.
You probably haven't.
I can show you real snow. You just need to come over here.
I'll come over there. Don't tempt me. I'm ready. I need a vacation.
Don't we all?
I need a vacation.
All right. Got anything else?
There was another funny quote that Artie's dad said to him about, you know, after they reconnected, that he was really happy that he was there, and he said, "You're already getting an A. Do you want to talk yourself down to a walk yourself down to a B?" Yeah. It was funny,
and the fact that he wouldn't let him play because he was screwing up. Artie was screwing up. He's like, "Let me fix the figurine and everything." He's down. I just want to show you this. You know, that's
you're
the
fingering whole thing. It ruining again. A perfectly good moment.
You're fingering it again.
All right, we'll leave that one alone.
I'm just gonna stop there. I see how you are.
PG, PG.
There was a artifact in the background in the beginning. It was a sled. Do you happen to know where the sled may have come in?
No,
I saw a sled in the beginning, and I didn't know what the sled was.
In the beginning of what?
At the beginning, when there were still twinkly lights and everything, and she had the mistletoe up, there was a sled behind Artie.
No, I don't know what that was from.
Oh, okay.
I have no note on it.
Maybe it was just decoration.
I mean, it was probably, I don't know. What would have been impressive if they had the Jamaican bobsled sled in there. That would have been impressive.
Yeah. No, this was an actual, like, cool sled. Runnings, right? Sled.
Cool runnings, yeah.
Cool running.
The movie.
See? It's just a short time that I don't have.
That was John Candy. He was the manager, right? John Candy?
I want to say
he was. John Candy, yep. He must
have been one of his last movies, too. I miss John. I miss him.
Yeah, he was good guy.
Such a young age.
Shannon, you have anything else about this that we haven't talked about already?
See here. I love the music. I love that this is the first time they changed the opening. You get to see the little candy canes are on the... And the ladles stuff, you get to see that. I have the music from this episode. I use this is my favorite gift from Warehouse 13 that I always use with her dancing and giggling. That's my favorite, Micah.
Dancing and giggling in the umbilicals.
And the umbilical, yeah. When she throws the snowball at him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love her little giggle and dance that she does. I just like the family, the setting that they have, you know.
Yeah, family
Lena's,
setting.
They're at Lena's, you know. They didn't get to go home, but they were there with their own family.
Yeah, found family.
You find your found family, right?
Yeah, like you guys, you're my found family.
Exactly. You're mine, too. And this is, SP, how many years have we been doing podcasts together? You said it once before.
It's over a decade, yeah. I've been podcasting with you for a while, and I know my way around your mouth.
Yes, that was it.
That sounded really dirty.
It did, didn't it?
I was supposed to, I think.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm going to bring that up again and again every chance I get.
So proud of you. You should be proud of me that I didn't go any further with that.
I would have cut it out, but yeah. Yeah, I do edit this but I try not to take anything out from you guys. All right, so... We're at the end here. We get the premiere for season one next. That's the next episode that we're going to cover.
Season three?
Season three.
Did I say season one?
You did.
Okay. So this is the end of season two. We're going to be covering the premiere for season three. I was looking at it. Season three, episode one. And I went to the one versus the three.
I see what you did there.
You can't use it.
I'm an idiot savant, I guess. It's what I am.
Problems speaking tonight, and that's okay.
Yeah, I've had problems typing over the last couple of weeks, too, so I'm probably going to have to go see the doctor. But aside from that, the season three, episode one, is titled The New Guy. And that's Shannon?
Good episode.
I have a question for you. Well, wait. Do you want the IMDb description? The Amazon Prime Video description or the TVGuide.com description?
I am never going to choose a TV Guide.
You have. All right.
No, I haven't. That's the TV Guide sucks.
Yeah, but you chose it once.
We're going to go Prime. New agent Steve Jinks gets initiated on his first assignment and almost dies on the job. Luckily, former warehouse agent Micah steps in to save his life. The agents discover the mysterious deaths connected to a secret meeting of bankers are based on a cursed collection of Shakespearean works, but don't know that the FBI agent on the case is, in fact, behind the murders for hire. Season 3, Episode 1, The New Guy.
What?
Such a great episode. I've been saying this from the beginning. You know how I feel about season 3. It's my favorite. So many great things happen in season 3, and Jinx is one of them.
Hopefully we get more cookies too. I mean, there has been a serious lack of cookies.
I know. My favorite quote from Claudia. See, now you got me doing it. From Claudia.
From Claudia.
Happens in this one when she's talking about where he's all like down and depressed that they don't ever get the calls. And she's like, we the second, we're the second A team. We ain't the B team. I love and Angela Lansbury. Yeah. And just so many things happen in season 3.
Yep.
That I love season 2. Season 1. I like parts of season 1, but it's never my go-to. Season 4.
Chet, I gotta ask you, you get any emails? It's been 2 weeks. You get any emails since we podcasted last time?
You're gonna have to rely on y'all's emails because I got so many applications in. I woke up this morning and I had 37 emails. So if I got them, they got lost.
All right. Carolyn, I didn't see any. Did you?
I didn't see any. No, I don't think we got any feedback anywhere other than just our amazing people on Twitter that retweet things. And I very much appreciate everybody that does that. I have a couple people that do it. Christopher and
Mike.
And who's the other one? Tom. I had to remember Tom's name. I'm sorry, Tom. Tom.
All right. Well, thank you very much for retweeting us on the X or the 10 or whatever very you want to call it.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, 10? We do. Yeah, because the X is...
Okay, Roman, I'll catch you.
Yeah, you're hanging on the 10, right?
Hanging on the 10.
Well, our email address for those that want to email us, and we really would appreciate your emails, is warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. That's warehouse, the numbers 13, fancast@gmail.com. You can also check out these lovely ladies over on that 10 at Ocean363 and at Sci-Fi Girl. You can find them there. And Sci-Fi Girl is spelled
S-Y-F-Y-G-U-R-L. Anybody know why I spelled G-U-R-L?
Yes, you have told the story on the show before.
See, now you know. Well, you like really weird spelling.
Well, he is really weird. I mean.
Yeah.
No, you were telling me I had a weird spelling for it, but it's there for a reason.
Well, I mean, this is an audio podcast. You got to tell people. It's in the show notes. If you have problems, you know, it's in the show notes. The link is there. All right. That's it for this week. I'm the janitor, SB.
Sci-Fi Girl.
I'm Ocean363. Bye, guys.
Everybody next time. Bye.
Bye, guys. We're gonna get Jinxy. He's so cute. He's so gay.
Thanks for joining us for an episode of the Artie's Attic Warehouse 13 fan cast. You can find all our episodes at warehouse13fancast.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can hit us up on our email at warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. We are a part of the Lone Wolf Podcast Network. You can hear more of this cast and other shows like it by checking out lonewolfpodcasts.com. The intro music is Sci-Fi Hybrid Intro by SoundMake, and the outro music is Science Fiction by Tunes2Go. Both were purchased on pond5.com.
I just remembered the other thing that was really funny to me that I really liked. Yeah. When Pete and Micah were standing there and they were asking him, he twinkled and whooshed. And she says, uh-oh. Well, that's better than what was the second one?
It was a sizzle and splat or zap and kerchow.
Yeah. And then you just hear Micah go, Pete, like the zap and kerchow was like the terrible one. Don't say that, Pete.
Do you smell fudge?
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
Do you smell fudge? No. That cracked me up. Nudged her way into existence. That's pretty good. Nudged.
I like that one. It's a good one.
She was not born of man.
I think they played so well off each other that in real life, I think you would have a hard time believing that. But not believe
they weren't related.
Really related. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find out here.
There's a lid for every pot. Ah, I missed that line. I should have said that one. There's a lid for every pot.
I don't think I remembered that one.
Let's see.
Yeah, they were talking about one of the cousin somebody. And oh yeah, no, she got married. How does she stand her voice? Well, he can't hear anything over middle C. I guess there's a lid for every pot.
Let's see. Judd was born March 15th, 1935, so before World War II.
And he's Jewish, right? So he's born over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were both Jewish.
I don't know where he was born. It's New York City. He was born in New York City.
Oh, well, that's how he got saved.
Saul was born in Germany on July 2nd, 1948. So
same year as my mama.
They're only 13 years apart.
Well,
so it could happen, just shouldn't have.
They're more like brothers. They're like father. Older brothers.
More like brothers.
Just shouldn't have.